Oh, look, and it's 10:01 exactly, for me at least.
It's 101.
No, it's 10:01. What are you talking about? You're wrong. Awesome. Well, we are behind schedule, but we are coming at you with a exciting bonus review today, which technically it's not a review, so it's a bonus episode.
And I have no idea what's going on, so I am going in completely blind, not sure what's going on here today. So I'm excited to see how we're kind of getting back into the groove of things.
Definitely. We figured that we have two bonus episodes that are going to come out. So this episode and then one after this. And so we figured these two bonus episodes will make up for the loss of content that we did not provide the last couple of months. But it also helps us get back into the swing of things. And we kind of thought of this really exciting unknown topic thing where this episode, it's all me running the show where Rachel has no idea what the topic is.
No idea.
And then next bonus episode, it's switched where I'm not going to have any idea what the episode's going to be.
Yep. So be ready. We're all very excited and very much not in the know for what's going to be coming. So I'm ready to get into it. What about you?
I'm ready. But are you really ready?
No, I'm actually a little scared, but I'm also very excited. So
No, I would not do you dirty by any means. I think this is going to literally be no sweat for you. Okay, trust me. Okay. I wouldn't. No.
You're always really good to me, so I don't know why I would doubt you.
No worries. All right. Well, we have chatted about this, and I figured why not finally bring this bonus episode into fruition and just let's get it done. So today's secretive episode that Rachel has no idea what it is. So there's going to be some ground rules real quick.
Okay.
Because it's going to be an episode where I know that I'm going to have tons of questions and you're going to be talking a lot. So we have to narrow it down, okay? Because then this episode's going to get way too long.
Okay.
But that's pretty much what this is going to be, is I'm going to be asking you tons of questions. This is going to be an interview-based kind of bonus episode.
Oh, and my goodness.
The topic is going to be a constructive mix of MomoCon and cosplay.
Oh, I love it. I'm so ready. Yay!
Awesome. So, updating our listeners, a couple of episodes back, I don't remember which bonus episode, but you had let everyone know that you were preparing and getting ready for MomoCon. So that just happened, I think, what was it, 2 weekends ago now?
Yes, 2 weekends ago. It feels like a lifetime ago already. I want to go back.
So let's get into it. Tell me, what was the process of preparing? Did you know who you were going to cosplay as? And just walk me through that.
So I always try to have a kind of lineup set up before, like a few weeks before I even start getting anything ready or packed or anything. I obviously well over a year in advance, like have an idea of what I would like to take to MomoCon, even though that might change or shift as like the year goes on and I'm working on a cosplay and things happen. Maybe I don't get something done in time, so I have to switch it to something else kind of deal. But for this particular MomoCon, it was pretty obvious to me. One cosplay in particular that I had to get done was Sailor Moon, Super Sailor Moon. I was so excited to bring her. But it really is, as I get closer to the con, I try to really nail down that lineup, what I'm going to be wearing each day of the con, what times I'm going to be wearing them. And it can take till like just like a month before the con before you can really narrow that down, just because you're not going to know the schedule until then. If you're like me and you volunteer for workshops and panels, you obviously want to wear something to those things that's going to kind of represent the theme of what you're doing for that. So you want to kind of plan around that. You might not know when that time slot's going to be until much closer to the convention. So these are all things that you can't really prepare for until like a month in advance. Oh, so wow. Yeah. So it's just trying to nail down what I'm taking with me to the con, making sure I have all the pieces, that I'm not missing any pieces, that nothing needs repaired or last minute touches, testing costumes. I made a mistake, maybe my second MomoCon, where I had kind of built this whole costume, but I didn't test any of the pieces all together. I just kind of tried them on as I was making them, like, okay, it fits, like moving on to the next part. And when I actually got to the convention, for one thing, it was a Destiny cosplay. It was an Awoken Destiny cosplay. And
I missed that game.
I have a love-hate relationship with Destiny, but that's a different episode. But it was incredibly hot because it was armor and heavy clothing, and MomoCon happens in the middle of May or at the end of May, so it's incredibly hot in the middle of Georgia.
Plus it's humid as can be.
Yes. So I was literally dying in this costume. I almost got heat stroke and pieces were literally like falling off of me. I had other cosplayers like coming up to me like, I found this and it looks like it matches your costume. And I was like, yes, thank you. Yeah, it was rough. So always making sure I test my costumes. And what was different about this MomoCon is it is kind of, I know we're still very much in the middle of COVID and having to deal with that. So this is a convention that is post those new rules, those new guidelines. So for this convention, it was, okay, I've nailed down what costumes I'm taking with me. I don't want to wear just paper masks the whole time. And right, like after all that hard work, especially on my makeup, on my costumes, I don't want to wear that. I want to look nice. So Having to make matching masks for all of my costumes so they look cute and good while I'm walking around the con, so I can still take pictures and not feel like I'm wearing like this ugly. And like that actually works for some of the costumes, like if you're a nurse or something, but.
For sure. And to be fair, to let all of our listeners know that I would say going to Comic-Con, because I've been to Comic-Con and I've also done cosplay it, and I would say there's a difference though. So where someone such as myself that doesn't do cosplay as a career path or goes in every single day, where so breaking that difference up is where you can go to con, but Rachel is actually immersed, where she does a panel there and is doing this as her livelihood, where she's getting paid to do this kind of stuff and really making a name for herself in the con community.
You and, give me so much more credit than I deserve, but no, I appreciate it.
Honestly, it's so true though, because that's kind of what, if I'm being transparent with you and our friendship and everything, that is what you've really started making a name for yourself, even on TikTok. And so that's, your TikTok's been blowing up and growing crazy. So that's where I'll say the difference is, where it's like just giving that input in that notice of that Rachel is doing this as work. And so that's kind of where the difference is. And there's nothing wrong with individuals such as myself going to Comic-Con and things of that nature. I love Comic-Con. I'm just explaining the kind of
reason behind it. And there's definitely a lot of joy in doing it casually. Sometimes my favorite day is literally like Thursday or Sunday, where I really don't have anything, which is like going to be like the first or the very last day of the con.
Slow days.
Where I actually like will tell the convention, like when I put in my panel requests and whatnot, I'll be like, please do not schedule me for these days. I will not, like, for one thing, I don't like with work and everything, sometimes I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it on like the first day of the con as soon as it opens kind of deal. So I don't want to commit to doing anything on those days just because I don't know if I'm going to be there in time for the first day. Mm-hmm. And then on the last day, I know I'm always going to be wiped out and tired. And I want to go to panels myself on that day. I don't really want to be running them that day. So I will tell them like Friday or Saturday, please, like whatever time those days, fine. But like those days, please.
Go into more of kind of that process of what it takes to get onto a panel for those that are listening and want to get to that point in their cosplay career. So explain that process of how you got there, and then also walk through what it takes to run a panel.
So one thing that I had noticed is that going to conventions is incredibly expensive. It takes a lot, getting the hotel slots, even when you book with friends, can still be incredibly expensive. Getting your passes, making cosplay, like it's all very much very expensive. And I wanted to find a way to kind of help not only alleviate a little bit of that cost for myself, but to also be a bigger part of the convention life itself. I have so much fun and I get so much joy when I go to conventions, and going to a few workshops that I went to at MomoCon really just showed me that I wanted to be a bigger part of it, and I wanted to start doing that kind of stuff myself. So, and I also realized that if you do that, you get to go to the con for free. I mean, you still have to pay for your hotel, travel, blah, blah, blah. But a lot of times you will get to get a pass to go to the convention, because obviously they don't want, like, they want you there if you're volunteering. So that was just kind of a bonus for me and kind of more incentive to do it. So pretty much all it is just going. Most conventions will have a website that you can go to where you can usually find where to buy your passes or what hotels they'll be hosting at or the schedules and whatnot. And a lot of times you can find signups for things like the cosplay contest, different events that they'll be running, but also volunteerships. So it's only volunteering that you would apply for, and you would just let them know, hey, I would like to run a panel or a workshop. But others will have a different section where you can apply for running a workshop or a panel. And it's usually volunteer. So you just go in with an idea and just try to be creative, try to do something that you know will hit the audience at the convention that you're going to, while also being kind of unique. And a lot of times workshops are really one of like the best ways to go, just because they're so interactive. They leave the audience with a new skill that they can take home and kind of build on it themselves, and maybe eventually start doing volunteership themselves. So it's a lot of fun doing the workshops. A good thing to keep in mind if you're trying to run workshops versus panels is a lot of the conventions, even the big ones, will expect you to kind of supply the materials for them. So like if you're running a panel and you need graphics, like a PowerPoint or some kind of game that you're showing on a screen, they'll have the setup for you to plug into, but it's on you to bring the laptop, you know, kind of deal. It's on you to bring the data that they need for it. Or in my case, I'm very blessed when I volunteer for MomoCon, because MomoCon will supply a lot of the materials for me, and they kind of just supply everything for the workshop, and I just teach how to do it myself. But at other conventions, I will have to prepare all of the materials beforehand. And a lot of times I will only have maybe like an hour and a half. MomoCon, again, so blessed to have them. They'll give me a full 2 hours to run a workshop. And when you're doing arts and crafts, you need more time, especially with people who might not know exactly what they're doing right off the bat. And mine can be a little intensive, because it requires an actual sewing portion when you're making the crowns.
Oh goodness, no. Because that alone, having to have people that maybe aren't so sewing savvy poking their fingers. I'm thinking for myself how... Yeah, because I'm very much a perfectionist in the things that I do. So going and helping or working on a workshop and being able to make something, I would be sitting there probably the last person doing it, because I like to take my time, make sure everything looks really spick and span.
I actually ran this panel at AWA, and it was one of those, I actually wasn't planning on going to this convention the full time. It was just kind of, I wanted to run the panel and kind of slowly get back into convention life. So I actually only went for the day that I ran this panel. So I told them it was okay for them to run me on Sunday, because I wasn't going to be tired, because I wasn't going to be there the whole time. I was just going to show up for the panel and then basically leave. So I actually ran this for AWA and they had me as one of the very last workshops of the entire convention. And we sold out. It was still like a really good turnout. Everybody showed up. It was a lot of fun, but the hotel that they were hosting it at was like, when the convention was done, they were like, get out, get out, get out. Like, we do not want you here anymore. Leave right now. And it was like you said, we had a few people who were a little bit slower, taking a little bit more time to finish. And even though, like, if it would have been in the middle of the convention, we still would have had to like move them out, just because like the next panel or workshop would have needed to get set up and they would have needed to move out.
The moral of the story, sorry, is that don't go to a workshop if it's the last one, I guess.
Oh my gosh. Well, no, I've had a lot of time, like a lot of fun at the last one. It's just, gosh, they were so ready to get us out of there. And it was just, it was very stressful, but I definitely prefer it when it's in the middle of the day, in the middle of the con versus at the end of it.
I've sat in on different panels in my time that I went to different cons and whatnot, but I've never sat in and participated on workshops. So maybe that's something in the future to do.
I feel like a lot of people don't really like think about workshops when they go to conventions. And it was something that took me a couple years to even discover when I started going to conventions. And after I discovered it, I was like, oh, this was so much fun. Cause you just sit down and you do a new craft for a little while. It's very relaxing. It's very cathartic, like, especially considering how hectic and crazy conventions can get, like,
oh yeah,
on like the arcade floor, on the dealer's floor, just going around and finding other people, taking photos and whatnot. It can be a lot. So to just sit down and like make crafts with your friends and like actually get to walk away with something you created is a lot of fun. I actually have more fun taking home sometimes the things that I got to create versus like the new like toys and stuff I bought in the artist alley or dealer floor.
For me, I think it's, you have a certain amount of number of days that you're participating or going to the Comic-Con in your area. And so for me, I would feel very pressed for time just because I love to walk around. I love to interact with individuals at the different cons and take photos with them. If they allow me to take photos with them, obviously, very important. Always ask for consent to take photos with any cosplayer.
Yes, please. Thank you.
But for me, it would be just a press for time thing because I do enjoy, exactly as you're saying, the art piece of it and seeing all the hard work that goes into not only just individuals' cosplays, but I also love seeing the different artists at the booths that are selling their artwork. And that's the one thing that I find, I think, the most enjoyment out of, just because I do appreciate any kind of fan art and things of that sort.
Oh, I totally understand. I think one of my favorite things about going to cons is just walking around, seeing other cosplays. Like, my favorite thing is to find really obscure cosplays, things that not a whole lot of people will do. One year, like one of my very first Momo cons, I actually cosplayed as Matilda. From that,
I remember that.
Yeah, the old movie about the girl. For our listeners, if you don't remember right off the bat from the title, it's the movie about the girl who loved to read and she had telepathic powers. And so a lot of people didn't recognize it, but a few people did, because I actually walked around with like a little red wagon like she did in the movie, and just like filled it with, I actually went to my local library and checked out a bunch of books, so I would actually have books that had like the library stamps on the side of them and everything. And I even put a few of my own personal favorite books in there as well, so other people can know what I like to read. And I just kind of carried that around with me. I made sure to put Moby Dick in there, of course, because that was her favorite. And a few people actually recognized it, thought it was so cute that I had the little wagon with the books. And then one girl actually saw one of my favorite books in there, Aberrat, and was like, oh, and like me and her like had like a full conversation for like 30 minutes about how great the Aberrat books were and how we can't wait for them to eventually have a conclusion, because for those in the know, there's supposed to be five and he's only released three. But this year in particular, one of my favorites that I kept seeing was from a video game that I recently played last year called Amori, which Trigger warning for anybody who wants to play that game. It is a very dark and gruesome game. I don't recommend it for the faint of heart, but if you're brave, go play it. It's really, really good, and it's an independent game, so go support independent game makers. But I kept seeing cosplayers who are wearing cosplays from that game. And it was so great to me because I was like, I can't believe you cosplay from this game. It like literally broke my heart, but also great job. I loved seeing it. It was so many of them were so good.
I have to agree. That's always the gold mine too, when you find just these different type of cosplays that are very thought outside of the box. Two in particular that I'm thinking of from when I went so many years ago now is one was Osimo, so from South Park. That was a really fun one. Somebody dressed up and cosplayed as Pyramid Head from Silent Hill. That was mind-blowing. The last one that is coming to my head right now is somebody dressed up as Salad Fingers.
Oh no!
So anybody that doesn't know who or what Salad Fingers is, this is early YouTube days. It is this weirdly drawn comic on YouTube, and it is this, I don't want to call him dead, but he's very morbid with very long fingers that are, they call him Salad Fingers. He likes rusty spoons. So look that up if you're interested. But I love the creativity that goes behind all of these different cosplays and the art and just the whole entire thing. It's been a while since I've gone. I need to try and get out to probably next year's. But I would say, I know that it's been a long time in the making just because obviously COVID kind of held everything back for the last 2 years. And so what was that like for you and then just everybody else that you interacted with at MomoCon just to come back finally and be in this space and see everyone after so long?
It was really just absolutely amazing. And it really did feel like coming home. Like MomoCon in particular, I love going to conventions and I love convention life, but my absolute favorite convention, hands down, is MomoCon. It came to me at a part of my life where I had kind of like left like the nerdier side of myself behind. Like I still watched Marvel movies and had TV shows that I had to watch as soon as they came on, but I wasn't really doing anything creative. I wasn't really exploring that side of myself. And I was actively depressed over my lack of inspiration. And my sister just, she was very young at the time, and she just called me and was like, hey, I want to go to this convention with my friends, but dad won't let me go because he doesn't want to go. And I'm, you know, so young, he doesn't want me in Atlanta by myself. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of understandable. And she was like, but I think he'll let me go if you chaperone me. Like, would you go with me? I'm sure I can get him to pay for your pass. And I was like, yeah, I'll go to this like nerdy little event with you. And it literally changed my life. I drove up there with her the first day and it blew my mind. I took so many pictures. My phone, I think, actually just like stopped working after a while because it was just like, I can't, my memory is full. And I went home and like immediately like was like in my closet trying to put together like just like something simple that I could wear that would be like just like a ridiculous closet cosplay. And it was all over after that. MomoCon came to me at a time in my life that I honestly think it saved my life, because that completely changed me, and cosplay has changed my life entirely. And I have MomoCon to thank for that. So going back, it was everything I've needed for the past few years, and I was so happy to be back. And this particular MomoCon was unlike any other MomoCon I've been at. I went with a completely new group of people that I used to go to. They were absolutely wonderful to go with. They are also MomoCon, I guess, veterans. And also, we're just so happy to be back. It was a really chill vibe, really nice vibe that we had going. And it was really funny. I ran into somebody from the con who I actually hadn't seen at MomoCon Like, I had met them maybe my second MomoCon at the MomoCon rave, and then they fell off the face of the planet. I'd never seen them again. And then I saw them again at this MomoCon, and it was like nothing changed. We reconnected, had a great time. This MomoCon was like nothing else. I had an absolutely wonderful time.
I'm sure it was just so surreal to finally be back after so long. And going on, I would say adding for those that want to experience going to a Comic-Con in their city and they don't have somebody to go with, do you have any tips or tricks of how to connect with individuals in the community and find just new friends to go with?
One thing I would suggest, obviously, in this situation, again, also be very wary. You never know who you're talking to or who could be on the other side of the screen when you meet people online. But conventions, I feel, are a very good, safe place to meet other people who you might meet online, other cosplayers, other people in the community. Again, always try to be aware of who you're meeting up with, who you're talking to, but it's a nice public environment, a nice public place. There's security everywhere. You should never feel uncomfortable or like you can't reach out to con staff. If somebody's making you uncomfortable, please point them out and tell the staff so that they know and are aware. It can keep other people at the convention safe as well. Mm-hmm. But my biggest suggestion is, and I've had experience with this as well, is I've met a lot of people online on Instagram, on TikTok in the past few years, just through cosplaying, us not being able to go to conventions and just missing it and still wanting to cosplay. And so we do it for the internet now, and getting to meet people like that and actually finally getting to meet them in person face to face at these conventions has been a lot of fun. So I would just recommend like reaching out and maybe like finding, because a lot of conventions will do group photo shoots, mm-hmm. for different fandoms, is maybe just for a fandom that you are a part of or a fan of, even if you don't want to do cosplay, maybe you just want to go take photos of other people who enjoy cosplaying as those characters. Go to one of those photo shoots, go to one of those fan meetups and meet other people who are also interested in the same thing you are, and find somebody that you can connect with, who you can vibe with, and see if they want to spend the rest of the con with you. You'd be surprised how many people are just ready to accept a new face and friend into their group. I've met some of the coolest and most creative people and dedicated people at conventions. It's wonderful.
Thanks for sharing. I know that's probably something that's come up for anyone that wants to get started into Comic-Con and go visit and experience it for the first time, but they're not sure who to take or nobody around them wants to go. But I would say for anyone that does not care or want to experience Comic-Con, I will say that you are really missing out on something that's so fun.
As somebody who's incredibly introverted and actually has a lot of social anxiety, that is the one place where it's like suddenly all of that in me just kind of melts away. And I like mm-hmm. become like this whole, I literally become another person at conventions, I swear. And I just open up and I don't know how to else to describe it, but like a complete freedom and shamelessness of getting to be my true authentic self.
It really gives you the chance of being somebody else for the day and also letting out maybe a side of you that you didn't know was there. And so it gives you, I would say, room to just really even find yourself possibly.
So one of the very first costumes I wore to MomoCon this year was my Gerudo Link cosplay. And I always am very much, when I am doing that cosplay, I am Link pretending to be a girl. So I am very much him trying to be her, basically. And I never feel better than when I am actually in that cosplay. That is like one of my favorite cosplays. It's one of my simplest cosplays. It's one of my most comfortable cosplays, but it's probably one of my favorite because I feel like my truest self when I am in that particular costume. And other people, it's like other people see that and recognize that I am fully being myself, and they mm-hmm. pick up on that vibe and love it as well. And it's just such a good feeling when when you hit that at a convention, it's so nice.
I think you also touched on a sensitive subject as well that I commend you for being transparent to, not just myself, obviously, but our listeners too, of being at a low point in your life and finding something that really made your life, I would say, better and opened up multiple new opportunities for you as well. And so I think that is something also worth noting, is if you as an individual are struggling or feel at any point in your life that you feel lost, that sometimes it's, I would say, the unknown and the unexpected and you just never know type thing. And I think it's definitely find stuff that you like to do.
Yes, find what brings you joy in life and do that, like do it full on. And I honestly don't know who I would be today if it wasn't for going to that convention and finding cosplay, because it just brings me so much joy, so much joy. So go find what brings you joy and do that thing.
Yeah, I definitely can agree that I have seen such a transformation in you over the last, oh my goodness, probably 7, 8, 9 years, however long it's been.
I've been doing it for a while now. It's ridiculous.
And it's just really cool to see just you blossom and come out of your shell and really own your skills and work on them and just keep, I would say, growing and getting better at your crafting skills. And that is something that has been really cool just from, I would say, the start of it, when you were making simple things, such as you were making pillows at one point, and then going from there and making your first cosplay for yourself to starting to do commissions for other individuals. And so I think that's just kind of what makes not even just cosplay, but I would say sewing for you, that is just such an exciting thing, is not only are you making things for yourself, but then you're also making things for other people and helping them achieve cosplay goals. And even drag goals at that, because one of those cosplays you made, being fair, was one of the drag queens on RuPaul's Drag Race, Trixie Mattel. And I noticed it because I'm a diehard Drag Race fan. And I just thought that was the coolest thing.
I had no idea either. I just, like, they were like, can you make this for me? And I was like, yeah, I'll make that. No problem. What are your measurements? And just made it. And you were just like, oh, you know, that's from RuPaul. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. One of the cosplays I've been working on right before everything shut down and I've been waiting to debut since then was the second part of my Super Sailor Moon, my Chibi Moon. I had been working on it for my sister. It's been a dream of ours to cosplay these two characters. Obviously, we've been watching Sailor Moon together since we were both kids, and I always connected to Sailor Moon, and I don't know if that influenced her to feel connected to Chibi, but Chibi is very much, there are a lot of parallels between Chibi and my sister. So the fact that we connected with those two characters particularly, and just the way we grew up together and everything, we love those two characters, and getting to cosplay them finally together and getting to see her in the costume and see her react to finally getting to wear that costume. And then on the flip side of that, I don't do wigs. I'm bad at wigs. I can't get them to do what I want ever. I can barely get them to comb out right. And I have my sister do all my wigs for me. And she kind of got the flip side of that when I finally got to put on the whole costume and put on the wig with it, which was one of the most important parts to me, was getting Sailor Moon's hair correct. I literally was sitting there like having to like look up and be like, guys, I like just spent an hour putting on my makeup and I'm gonna cry.
So I know I had seen you take photos and you had ended up doing a photo shoot. So how did that go?
The photo shoot was absolutely, it was kind of wild. So I did a casual Sailor Moon as well. So Usagi and just like her day clothes kind of deal, and her like iconic little pink blouse and the black skirt. That's always been one of my favorite of her casual casual costumes. I only think she wears it only in a couple episodes too, but it's my favorite. But I did a photo shoot with that at first, and my sister took the time to make me two sets of buns that we can interchange from the wig, so I can have like a transformation look and a casual look as well. And the casual one went off without a hitch. It, like, they kind of wanted to move a little bit, but they, for the most part, stayed in place. We were able to take a lot of great photos, get that nice photo for that reflection shot that I got. But we got a lot of really great shots in that one. Then the next day we did the transformation shoot, and my husband, who is actually my photographer, showed up for that one. So we had his expert hand there as well. And he's really, over the past year, gotten a really good eye for angles and taking really good kind of focused shots and portrait mode shots. And so it was very nice having him there, but we kept running into the issue where my transformation buns just did not want to work the whole day. We kept getting a lot of really good shots, but they kept falling off all day, to the point that one of, like, the clips that we had to put them into the wig completely came off, and we had to go to a cosplay repair, which my only complaint about MomoCon this year was they did have a cosplay repair room. Thank you so much for that. However, why they put it, it was, MomoCon was like a straight line this year with an end to it and a beginning, and they had the cosplay repair at the complete end of it. And I was it would have made a lot more sense to at least have it in the middle. But so we had to walk all the way to the end of this. And this happened outside of the convention. We were out in one of the photo shoot areas trying to get photos when this happened. And so we had to walk by groups of people. And this is Saturday. Saturday, if you're unfamiliar with Saturday at conventions, that is the go big or go home for cosplayer days. That is when everybody brings out their A game. So I was seeing other Usagis. I was seeing other Chibis. I was seeing the whole group. The whole group. There was this very gracious couple that were trying to do like a video blog for MomoCon. I always want to be in those. Like, when people ask me to be in those, like, that's when I feel like I've peaked as a cosplayer. And I had to deny so many people, so many Usagis. Like, I saw a Moon Knight. Like the suit Moon Knight, you have no idea how badly I wanted to take a picture with a Moon Knight in my Sailor Moon transformation. That would have, like, I wanted that photo so bad. And then after I got it fixed, I still got all the photos that I wanted. I even got this really cool one where, like, a dragonfly literally landed on my bun. And both beats, Clay is sitting there with the camera just like staring at the bug in my hair, like the literal dragonfly that landed in my hair. He's just standing there not taking photos. And me and Selma are like, sir, you have a job. But other than that, it was so much fun. And again, I was taking that to MomoCon 2020. That was the plan. And so to finally have this become a reality after all this time was, even with the hiccups, just everything. It was everything.
You gotta roll with the punches sometimes. And yes. I would say that's for sure one of the exciting things, is when you do choose to cosplay as a specific character, and then you end up finding other individuals throughout the Comic-Con that are dressed up as another character. And that was always the exciting thing when I would go and cosplayed as Sailor Venus. And then I would end up seeing other cosplayers that were dressed up as either Sailor Moon, Sailor Mars, or any of the other scouts or villains or anything, and always have to take photos with them. And I'm distinctively remembering now when I first did Sailor Venus, the first time ever, my first Comic-Con that I ever went to, I didn't have my wig properly placed. And given, it's not an expensive wig either, it's from Amazon, but it's a pretty darn good wig. It works. But I didn't have it set correctly or anything. And I distinctively remember, and I also still have the photos of my wig getting pulled back. And so you just see this huge forehead. And that's why it's so important to either somebody that's with you will help fix you up or give you a heads up, hey, your wig's looking wonky or something. But I didn't even know they had rooms that you could fix your cosplay for that matter. At least not here.
Not every convention does them. And again, I'm pretty sure it's like kind of one of those things where somebody has to like be like, oh, I volunteered to do this kind of deal.
I volunteer as tribute.
And even then, like the thing about like having like a cosplay repair room is the way that they like to have the panel room set up is that they can switch out and have different things going throughout the con, and they don't really want one single room taken up by one thing the entire right. time, because if that happens, then they can't host as many things. Right. Or even worse, if said volunteers who are going to run it like cancel or can't make it for whatever reason, then that True. Room is nothing for the whole con. So yeah, but I actually, because I had to spend so much time in the cosplay repair room myself this year, because that was not the only cosplay that had a malfunction this year. My Princess Neptune that I made with the bridesmaid dress from your wedding made its debut this year, finally. And
you're welcome.
I had a train on either side that hung off the side, and one side just kept getting ripped off because one of my friends kept stepping on it.
Who's this friend? We gotta have a talk.
Yeah, we gotta have a talk. It wasn't really her fault. It was literally just like kind of pinned on there, like with a very small bit of thread, but it was
sure.
It happened multiple times.
Oh, you know she did it on purpose. She said your cosplay was absolutely top notch, and she said I just got to ruin it.
Need to knock her down a notch.
No, I'm kidding. I'm so kidding. But awesome. Well, all right. So I said I was giving us a warning time just because I know that we could literally sit here and talk about cosplay, Comic-Con, and all of that forever.
Like I said, this is my favorite convention. I could talk about it forever, and this one was one of the best ones. Thank you, MomoCon 2022. I can't wait to see you next year.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad and excited that this was a successful first bonus episode coming back, and thank you to Rachel for answering my questions, because I'm curious. We've been friends for years, but still I don't understand or know 100% from the side of, other than a person that just goes versus somebody that's on the panels and things of that sort. So thank you for sharing your wisdom and your knowledge with myself and our listeners. And for those that don't know what Rachel's social media pages are, tell everyone what your name is so they can find you.
So on Instagram, TikTok, even Twitter, even though I never use it, I am the Original Satan Sister. So all one word, just at the Original Satan Sister. And you can find me just about on any of the main social medias with that name. On Instagram, I am always sharing pictures of my cosplays. I actually have a short little reel showing some of my time at MomoCon this year. And on TikTok, I'm very excited. I just started rolling out a bunch of Mario fan fiction kind of deal revolving around the Mushroom Girls from the most recent Bowsette craze that happened a while back. So if you are interested in seeing any of that, please go check out my TikTok, The Original Satan Sister.
Awesome. And for our listeners, please know we promise that this is the first bonus episode, and then the second bonus episode, which again is going to be a swap where I have no idea what's to come, but for our listeners, it is with much excitement that season 3 is coming within the next 3-4 weeks. So prepare, and I would say catch up. We have a very exciting first full review episode coming back.
I can't wait to get back. It's going to be so exciting. Just running up that hill. Getting there with the reviews. So I'm excited.
I am too. And I've missed it. It's been a minute and it's long overdue. All right, everyone. Until next time.
Bye.
If you like Two Girls, One Review, go subscribe wherever it is that you listen to your podcasts.